pretty black shirt. She still manages to get it, gets it out to Trillo. Trillo driving back out to Rivera, over to Sivak.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. California skies are calmer after weeks of atmospheric rivers, and President Biden will soon head there.
We're all closely monitoring the storms, the floods, the landslides all across California. And our heart is with all the families in the communities that are hurting, and all the brave and historic and heroic first responders.
CBS's Steve Futterman.
For the most part, the rain has stopped here in California, but hillsides and mountains are still saturated with water, so officials are still worried about potential dangerous mudslides. The heavy rains have brought a bit of good news. Many dams and reservoirs that have been well below normal levels are now near capacity. On Thursday, President Biden travels here to the Golden State to assess the damage.
The discovery of more documents marked classified at the president's Wilmington home was a primary focus of questions today at the White House. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
In her first briefing since the White House revealed the existence of additional classified documents at the president's home last Thursday, Karine Jean-Pierre admitted she, too, was in the dark on that on Friday.
No, I did not know.
Now that the attorney general has named a special counsel, the press secretary is aiming to stick to this line.
I'm not going to comment from here.
Instead, off camera, an aide in the White House counsel's office defends the limited disclosures and tells reporters that Republicans are offering fake outrage. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
More than 6,500 firearms were discovered at airports last year by the Transportation Security Administration. TSA spokeswoman Lisa Farbstein says that's an increase of nearly 600 firearms over 2021, and most were loaded.
The vast majority of people who show up at airport security checkpoints with firearms in their carry-on bags tell us they forgot that they had their firearms with them.
A Massachusetts man already facing a charge of misleading investigators in the search for his missing wife has now been charged with murder in her disappearance. Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey says Brian Walsh will be arraigned on the more serious charge tomorrow.
Mr. Walsh will be transported to the Quincy District Court for arraignment on the charge of murder.
Due to rising sea levels, scientists in Hawaii are now moving birds to higher ground. CBS's Matt Piper.
On Hawaii's Turn Island, different species of birds are now being moved. The island is just 6 feet above sea level, and Lindsay Young with the nonprofit Pacific Rim Conservation Group says some species are near extinction.
We are relocating them onto higher islands that are not eroding as quickly and have much more space, and trying to create new colonies where they will be safe from sea level rise.
The birds are being moved from federal lands they nested on to other federal lands. The move to other islands is anywhere from 500 to 1,500 miles away.
This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk.
Naomi Ringer, number 20. Emily Easton back in as well. A long three, that's off the back of the rim. Rebounded by Easton. Easton had a little bit of a break here, but Blackshirts recover nicely. Zek has it, top of the key. Zek over to Trillo in the corner. Trillo, a beautiful little dish to Easton, but nowhere to go with that. Kicks back out to Trillo. Trillo driving, but stolen beautifully by Hartline. Hartline on a fast break, should be uncontested. Hartline with the layup. Great little layup there by Mackenzie Hartline. 49-29, 6:36 remaining. Oh, maybe another steal. Yes! Hartline comes up with it again after Martinez knocks away, but can't get the layup. Thought she had the foul there, but no call. Easton was guarding her on that layup. Trillo has it again. Trillo driving now to the top of the key, moving Svek over to the left wing. Kicks it to Svek now. Svek to Ringer in the corner. Ringer for a long three. She's not bashful. Air ball rebounded by Hartline. Hartline covering a lot of floor tonight. Hartline looking. Oh, had Zalaka underneath. But no, stop has it. Now into the corner to Martinez. Oh, can't get the three there. Rebounded by Svek. Two Huskies were on that ball. So Easton now bringing it up. 5:50 and counting. 49-29 in favor of the Huskies. Long pass back to Easton. Top of the key. Easton driving. Kicks it to the corner to Zek. Zek trying to go baseline. Nowhere to go. Desperation pass. But it is recovered in the backcourt by Svek. Trillo hangs on to it. 5:33 and counting. Trillo into the corner to Easton. Easton driving. And she gets called for the travel. Fortunately, because she made contact there with Zataka. Addison Staub inbound to Heartline. No press now from the Lady Huskies with a 49-29 lead, 5:24 remaining. Heartline dribbling. She's going to go all the way. Kicks it to Terry in the corner for three. Terry doesn't get anything on that. And a jump ball. Possession arrow will go to the Huskies. And I apologize. Terry's coming off the bench. That was Flores that tried that long three. Heartline will come out for the black shirts. 5:11 is your time remaining. Oh, Terry almost gets a steal there on Ringer. Ringer to Zach. Zach to Easton. Easton driving. Makes a pretty little move into the corner to Zvek. Zvek for the three. Yes! Paige Zvek with a nice little trade. It's 52-29 now, 4:48 and counting.
Join us daily at therickssmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Senate power destruction couple Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin front and center stage in Davos, Switzerland. And I'm going, exactly why? Why Senator Dipsy Do and the oil mansion are there in Switzerland? Don't they have work to do in... Never mind. Rest assured, rich people, they've got your back in the Senate. Sinema, who you may remember, last month became an independent, left the Democratic Party, used basically this World Economic Forum, you know, to kind of take a victory lap. Hey, look at me. She had her little outfit on. Joe and Kyrsten did a high five to say, you know, we're going to stop any filibuster reform. Basically telling rich people, don't worry about it. We got your back. We got you. We're going to do what you need. Those campaign dollars, well spent. Keep them coming. Basically what it is. And look, I look at this. I'm struggling with what to call it, because we're told this is where the rich and the powerful and the elite, they go to solve the world's problems, and we, you know, have big minds come together and you know, deal with big problems. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's basically a bunch of people who have come together and are primping and preening. It's basically a PR stunt of, hey, look at me, because we never seem to get anything accomplished out of this. That to me is kind of where we are. This is, how did one group put it? Our friends over at the Patriotic Millionaires, they call it what, survival of the richest. I mean, this is, and there's a new report out called Survival of the Richest, published by the people at Oxfam, who, again, when you look at these numbers and you look at the massive inequality in this country and the wealth consolidation, what's interesting to me is I get emails all the time from people going, you just hate rich people. No, I don't hate rich people. I don't. I thought someday I would like to be rich. Someday I'd like to walk down the street and find a lottery ticket and go, hey, look, I'm rich, because I've never played. But I have a problem with mass consolidation of wealth at the expense of, well, everybody else. And as we talked about yesterday, the fact is that for every new dollar of wealth that went to the 90% of us, you know, the working people, the people who clean up the mess, the people who make the products, the people who, you know, do everything that needs to be done to build an economy and make an economy run, you know, we the working people, for every dollar in new wealth that we gained, the top 1% pocketed $1.7 million. That's not a mistake. That's not a rounding error. That's not a decimal point movement. For every dollar in new wealth you got, they got 1.7 million. Think about the, and you go, but you're just jealous. No, we have a massive distribution problem in this country and in this world. We have a massive problem. Over the past 2 years, when we've had this little pandemic thing, cost of living has just skyrocketed for working people. And who's benefited? The wealthy. Because what we know is the richest 1% of the global population. They've taken roughly 2/3 of all new wealth created. They've pocketed it. And you go, but you know, they're the smart ones. They work hard. No, nobody works that hard. I'm sorry, nobody. When you look at the mass consolidation of industries, you look at the fact that 4 companies control our meat supply, 3 companies control our cereal supply. You can go down the list of the mass consolidation that's happened and the corporate CEOs who have lined their pockets at the expense of workers. And you go, we should maybe do something. This Oxfam report points out that 95 food and energy corporations more than doubled their profits in 2022 and paid out $257 billion in those funds to shareholders, most of them industrial shareholders. You stop me and think about this. Here's the thing, and I love the cookie analogy. This is like putting 10 cookies on the plate. One guy takes all 10 of them, and there's a crumb left, and he goes to the mass of people in the room going, hey, better watch out. Somebody's going to grab that crumb. Because that's the world we're in right now. When you've got at least, according to the Oxfam report, 1.7 billion workers living in countries where inflation has outpaced wages, we got the U.S. being one of them, you got a problem. Got a problem. And you stop and think about, you know, what policymakers are doing. I think Biden has been doing the right things. I listen to what Republicans are telling me. We're going to cut taxes again? More tax cuts? Seriously? Especially when you look at the fact that, as Oxfam points out, for every $1 in taxes collected, only 4 cents comes from taxes on wealth. So the people who have all this wealth, have accumulated all this wealth, they're walking away. Have you ever seen the guy on TikTok? He wrote some book. I think he's the rich dad, poor dad guy. He talks about how smart the rich people are and how wage earners are stupid because you're trading your time for wages. Rich people, they have assets, and rich people don't pay taxes because they're smart. You know, the Trump thing. I get away with paying no taxes because I'm smart. He's not wrong. We don't tax wealth. We don't tax assets. And why? Well, because they've got really good lobbyists. We have seen massive, massive inequality spring up right before our very eyes. In my lifetime, it has gotten exponentially worse. We are back into the Gilded Age. Only we're not suffering enough because we still have something of a social safety net. We still have something of labor laws that ensure a basic bottom line ability to survive. I don't have a problem with rich people. I have a problem with, oh my God, rich people. The kind of wealth that generations aren't going to be able to spend. And you think about the other statistic they threw out, that half of the world's billionaires live in countries without inheritance taxes, which means there's going to be about $5 trillion that's going to be passed on tax-free down the road, that it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing, and inequality will keep growing larger and larger. And what does that mean? Well, that means that the rich and powerful will go to things like Davos and have their little, hey, look at me, look at my little thing. We never solve any problems. We never figure out any problems. We never come to solutions. I can tell you what our problems are globally. Really simple. We have a real simple problem in this country. Too many workers making too few wages. We have a distribution of wealth problem in this country and on this planet. There are far too many people who go to bed hungry, and there are a handful of people who have the ability to make that go away. But no, we don't choose to, because, well, that's socialism. I can't tell you how many emails I get every day. People are like, oh, you're a commie, you're a socialist. No, I'm not. But I do believe that in the richest country in the history of civilization, at its wealthiest moment, on a planet that has never seen as much wealth as we have now, I'm sorry, people starving? Not something that I'm okay with. And understand, over the next several years, we're going to see more tax cuts because we're moving hard right. We're moving more pro-business, more pro-wealth because they own the media. They control the levers that control our thought processes and the corporations and the governments that do this stuff. And we're going to continue down this, and it's going to get worse. The question is, when does it snap back? When do we have enough? Now, interestingly enough, there was a story over at the Wall Street Journal, the newspaper of the investor class. That's what they used to bill themselves. Story titled, Shopper Rebellion Against Higher Prices Helps Slow Inflation. And there was one key line in there that I found really interesting, where they quote a study done by the Federal Reserve of Kansas City. They write that the Fed found that higher markups, the gap between what a firm charges and what it costs to produce an item, was a major driver in inflation in 2021. Yeah, they saw a good opportunity to line their pockets. They concluded that the companies in some cases were raising prices in 2021 in anticipation of future cost pressure rather than because of market power or outside demand. We knew this, but thank you, Wall Street Journal, for telling us what we knew last year and the year before. Greedy corporations saw an opportunity to line their pockets, and they used the fear of defense of the market, future potential, oh my gosh, those workers may demand higher wages. And they use that as their excuse. Interestingly enough, the Wall Street Journal newspaper is saying, hey, you know, consumers are kind of not happy and they're fighting back. And they're kind of slowly sending the message, okay, it's time to bring things down. Now understand, a lot of these companies jump their prices 10, 20, 30%. So if they roll them back 10%, they roll them back 5%, you think, hey, oh my gosh, things are getting better. Things are cheaper.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief, a break for California after weeks of pounding rainstorms that have resulted in floods and mudslides. President Biden says he's in contact with state officials.
I issued a disaster declaration to support recovery and to rebuild. And I'll be traveling to California on Thursday to assess the damage and see what additional support may be needed.
An announcement today from Norfolk District Attorney Michael Morrissey on the Massachusetts man facing a charge of misleading investigators in the search for his missing wife.
The investigation has now allowed police to obtain an arrest warrant charging Brian Walsh with the murder of his wife.
Due to rising sea levels, scientists in Hawaii are now moving birds to higher ground, other federal land, anywhere from 500 to 1,500 miles away. Lindsay Young is with the Pacific Rim Conservation.
We become surrogate parents for them for a while, and then when they are adults and ready to have chicks of their own, they come back to the spot that we move them to. So we're kind of tricking them into returning to a new location.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans want to put bail on statewide ballots in April. The state Senate takes up the advisory referendum bill today. The proposed constitutional amendment would give Wisconsin judges more leeway in setting bail for dangerous defendants. The amendment is one of at least two proposed advisory questions seen as a way to drive voter turnout for conservatives running for state Supreme Court. A Texas brewery is canceling a scheduled rally featuring Kyle Rittenhouse. The Illinois man was acquitted of homicide charges in Wisconsin related to the Kenosha riots of 2020. Officials with Southern Star Brewing say the so-called rally against censorship doesn't reflect their values. Rittenhouse says he's disappointed. In sports, the Bucks host Toronto tonight. You're listening to The Shah, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
done.
We almost did it.
We're still going to get through today, but we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council. Melty face.
Yeah, exactly. So there's that.
Okay. 21 minutes after the hour, this portion of the show brought to you by Cozy Earth. Not just sheets, not just pajamas. Oh, my God, Jody, they have no plush bath towels.
Oh.
Nice.
So soft. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. All made from the finest premium viscose, which is fun to say, and also it's sustainable. It is. It's made for, right? Highly sustainable bamboo. Cozy Earth, a brand that made Oprah's Favorite Things list 5 years in a row. I'm going to tell you, Lily and Jane loved them, right?
They called you a monkey.
Yes. And they called them perfect. Yes. Perfect pajamas. I sent them the same ones I have, the black Eleganza with the white piping.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. The sheets, amazing. And the new bath towels. Gotta have them. Cozy Earth bedding comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote, too. So let's get cozy. Sir, hurry. You can save 35% on Cozy Earth right now if you go to CozyEarth.com and type in Stephanie. That's 35% off. CozyEarth.com. The promo code is Stephanie.
She's your human happy pill.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Pack Rat. Yeah, you. Are you moving cross-country and you just don't know who to call? Call us right now. Listen, you've probably seen one of our containers in your neighborhood. But did you know that we can help you move anywhere in the United States? It's real simple. We'll drop a container off at the location you tell us to bring it to. You pack up your valuable possessions at your leisure. They stay safe right in your home. And when you're ready, call us. We'll come and pick up the container and give you a scheduled date of when your first furniture and the other possessions will be at your new home. So if you're moving across country or across town, be a pack rat. Join the pack rat family. Call Pack Rat right now for your free quote. See y'all later, pack rats.
800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. 800-334-5468. That's 800-334-5468.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Ew, it stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Arr! We be under attack. Man the long knife! Prepare to be boarded.
Arr! Flagship starboard bow.
What? No, not by the enemy flagship. By garbage. Me beautiful ocean be full of it these days. It flows in from rivers and drain pipes. Many of folk don't know that when they throw trash on the ground, it eventually makes its way into the ocean. How can I enjoy Sail Me Bonnie Seas with all this trash in it? Why, there's soda pop bottles, plastic bags, even stinky leftover takeout. Fire at will, men! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. If you don't, I'll make you walk me plank. Nah, just kidding. Seriously, though, learn more what you can do to keep the oceans healthy at KeepOceansClean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jody Hamilton is here. Charlie Pierce coming up. Bottom of the hour. Lauren Boebert and... do we have cat fight? Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene have finished fighting in the girls' bathroom on the first day of school. Not kidding.
That happened.
Yeah. We're not sure. We will keep you apprised if they start throwing tampons at each other in the shower. One of them burns down the entire Congress with their mind. But anyway, they got in a cat fight
Neither of them are burning anything down with their mind. Let's just get this clear There's not that much brain power in there.
Yeah, there isn't a mind between the two of them.
No way. Not happening.
What did Carrie do? Oh, she just had the pig's blood fall on everybody.
Mm-hmm. No.
That could be next.
No,
she burned everything
up. She had nothing to do with the pig's blood.
No, other people did that. It fell on her.
Oh,
and then it fell on William Katt.
The school bullies.
That's correct. Right. Okay, here's my point. Well, Lauren Boebert.
You haven't seen Carrie, have you?
It was a long time ago. I do remember that they were at the grave and the hand comes up out of the grave.
That was,
That's at the very end.
Oh, sorry. A hand comes up from out of the grave at the end of the movie.
It's a Stephen King thing.
Right, and gets Amy Irving, actually.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Correct.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, because Nancy Allen got killed.
Right.
What? Oh,
no,
thanks. Spoiler.
She did get killed because she blew up Nancy Allen's car.
Yeah. Right. And then Betty Buckley got it really badly in the middle of her body.
But not before she dropped the heart of the ocean and then also said Rosebud. Anyway.
And the wife did it.
What?
Huh? And she was
They were all dead the whole time.
Spoiled every movie.
Okay. My point was QAnon Veronica, Lauren Boebert accused Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell of being conspiracy theorists.
What?
Oh, my God.
Really?
These are like the QAnon Betty and Veronica accusing someone else. Okay. And said they should be removed from the House Intelligence Committee. And I'm going to have to wait for dumbass till after the break.
We have that's a long one.
Lauren Boebert, fresh from her girl fight. Uh-huh. And then we also have Jody Hamilton's boyfriend, Charlie Pierce.
He's in the waiting room.
Oh,
he's already here.
Oh, dear God, please let it be him. Next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
So, Bob, do you have the list of candidates to replace Logan as department head?
Yes, sir, right here. Right. First on the list is Cummings. Highly qualified, plenty of experience.
How old is Cummings these days?
He's 57.
I think that's a little OLD, don't you? Who else is on the list?
Gonzalez.
We can move on.
Why?
His last name, Gonzalez. I don't think we need any of that here.
Well, then there's Tyler, a real go-getter.
A woman as department head? I don't think so.
All righty. What about Gardner? Works long hours, knows the department.
Bob, don't tell me you don't know about Gardner.
What?
The man is light in the loafers. Get my drift?
Well, that doesn't really matter.
Oh, sure. Next thing we know, the whole department would be overrun with them.
All right. I've always liked Richardson. He's worked his way up, helped reorganize...
Bob, in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
So?
He'll slow the whole department down.
He's one of the best workers we have.
Who's left?
Simpson.
He's a mathematical genius, but in that wheelchair, I don't think so.
Well, that's the whole list.
A department filled with people and not one of them is qualified. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. Ridiculous.
The Leadership Conference Education Fund and the Advertising Council remind you that our strength, our progress, depend on our diversity.
Hello, excuse me, who are you?
I am the pool boy, and this is Mrs. H, a wealthy but lonely old woman who has seduced me to get revenge on her aloof and philandering husband.
Why are you salivating on each other in my living room?
But we salivate on each other in everyone's living room.
If you don't want your kids to watch it, block it. It's easy to be the boss of what your kids watch by blocking the television programming you might like but don't want them to see. To learn how, go to thetvboss.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and thetvboss.org.
Hi. Who are you?
Who am I? Don't you watch TV, Grandpa?
I'm 45, okay? My kids are 8 and 10.
Well, I'm the second twisted star of a weekly animated series for adults.
And why are you in my living room?
Good question, buddy. Why am I in your living room?
If you don't want your kids to watch it, block it. It's easy to be the boss of what your kids watch by blocking the television programming you might like but don't want them to see. To learn how, go to thetvboss.org. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and thetvboss.org.
Look at all the cars. Lots of colored cars. Now, there's a blue one. Isn't it pretty? Ooh, look how fast that red one's going. It's red like that stop sign. Like my jacket.
This is a 38-year-old man.
My jacket's not a car, is it? Is my jacket a car? My jacket is red, but it doesn't go fast.
He may sound a little strange to you and me.
Vroom. Vroom, vroom.
But to his 2-year-old son, who's interested in cars and colors, he makes perfect sense.
That's the sound cars make.
When you talk with your child, you build vocabulary, and learning starts long before school does. So follow their lead. Take simple everyday moments, like eating dinner or just watching cars go by, and turn them into learning moments.
Ooh, look, red car!
Yes! And it's moving awfully fast.
Blue car!
Yes! The man in the red car is about to meet the man in the blue car. Get himself a pretty pink ticket.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. For more tips, go to bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This is a test to find out if you know it all when it comes to children. Time starts now. Name one of the leading killers of U.S. children age 1 to 13. What's the best way to protect children in a car crash? At what age and size should a child start using a booster seat? Where can you find the answers to these questions?
Car crashes are one of the leading killers of U.S. children. Many of those deaths could be prevented by making sure that kids are in the right seat for their age and size. Don't assume you know it all when it comes to car seats for your child. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat and know for sure. That's safercar.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Car silly, and also because they're attacking the future. To work for yard sanity and choice, go to rewild.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I got to tell you, I love this. Politico had a story today with, or actually this was on Friday, I believe, with Brian Kemp. Brian Kemp and the electric car, and they called it a love story. And there was a line in there that caught my attention that I just thought was hysterical. They wrote, a former real estate developer who wears a cowboy hat, wears cowboy boots with his suit and scrunches his brow in a fashion of George W. Bush, the 59-year-old Kemp has emerged as a curious figure on the American right, a conservative hardliner whose enthusiasm for tax cuts and guns is matched only by his passion for charging stations and battery recycling. I'm going, wow, match that story with the story coming out of Wyoming, where you've got a group of legislators there who want to ban electric vehicles by 2035 because, well, it's going to hurt the gas industry. Interesting little juxtaposition you have on the right. And it's going to be interesting how they fight this out and where it goes. And here to share some thoughts on just how crazy this appears, because it looks very bizarre on the outside to me, I've asked my good friend Scott Paul to come talk with us. Scott's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick, it's great to be with you.
So interesting kind of polar opposites in the Republican Party. Kemp, who seems to be embracing the new technology, may not buy any of the climate stuff, but sees it as, I think, jobs and all of that. And on the other side, nope, we want to go back to good old gas, diesel, guzzling stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, we've both been working on these issues for a long time, right? And so one of the things that's always struck me is, like, at the state level, you generally get people, Republicans and Democrats, who are a little more pragmatic, particularly about economic development. Like, the thought of getting a semiconductor plant or an electric vehicle plant or a battery plant or a solar plant is very appealing. And so, philosophy starts to erode a little bit in most cases. And I think that's certainly true with respect to government, Governor Kemp. I think it's shocking what the Wyoming legislators are doing. They're like, there are often reasons to be concerned about over automation or robotics. And so I want to be careful about how I say this, but like the classical Luddites that just for the sake, we don't want any progress at all. It's like, what's wrong with you? So, Kemp obviously is the governor of a state represented by two Democrats that Biden won and is growing, right? I mean, they're attracting people. Wyoming, there's more sheep than people.
Yeah.
So I guess, they can do what they want. It's ultimately not going to have a big impact on either climate change or the electric vehicle market. Those F-150 Lightnings that'll go faster than any gas combustion engine, 0 to 60 faster, they're going to miss out on them, apparently, if those guys get their way. Kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I look at, and I've been talking a lot about red state, blue state, because there are major different divides. I look at the red states who seem to be, head in the sand, kind of, we want to go backwards kind of thinking, as we've got a lot of blue state thinking of, okay, what's the way forward? Now, look, I'm not 100% sold on EVs. There are a lot of problems that come with them that I don't know that we have answers to, but it seems a direction that we're going to go as a country, and it's going to be the jobs of the future, and we can talk about all those things. But it just seems to me this idea that, that we've always done it this way is kind of the failed ideology that's tearing us apart. I'm curious. Yeah. Thoughts.
Yeah. Well, look, I think you're right. And clearly, if you're not persuaded by the climate rationale, I think a lot of consumers are looking and say, you know what, this is going to save me money from a power perspective over 5 years or, whatever reason they want to do it. Right. And so I think that's taken care of itself, because you see, the number of EVs being sold every year in America is increasing exponentially.
Yep.
And so I think we're at the very lower end of this. And so, Rick, but the thing that's really interesting to me is, so you have Kemp, who obviously is the governor, who didn't have to vote on the Inflation Reduction Act or the Infrastructure Bill or the CHIPS Act or anything like that. But then you also have a bunch of Republicans in Congress who did vote against these things. And companies are locating solar panel production or wind turbine manufacturing facilities or battery facilities or electric vehicle assembly plants in their states. And so, you know, like there's a big, you know, try not to choke when you hear this, but like this Qcells, which is a big solar company, announced the biggest kind of like integrated solar manufacturing investment in America, that's going to be from raw materials to finished product, which is extraordinary given the state of the supply chain today. And it's in Marjorie Taylor Greene's district in Georgia. So I don't know how she's going to stumble around the logic of, you know, being so unalterably opposed to all of these things, but having thousands of people, literally thousands of people, because it's going to be like 2,500 people who work at this thing. So, which may make it the largest employer in her, you know, in her district ultimately. But that's going to be some twisted logic to try to.
But the other part of this, my mind goes to, you know, how is it that we're now using all these federal dollars from the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act and all the things to reshore manufacturing to reward people who are against it? It shouldn't. You know, there's part of me goes, why are we putting them in those places? Is there a strategic reason other than it's a no rights at work state?
Yeah. Well, so that is a great question. And I think some of these companies, unfortunately, do follow a pattern of trying to find, of doing that, of trying to avoid, you know, workers having a voice at the factory. I think in a lot of cases, that's not true, right? Because you've seen like Intel locate a factory in
Columbus,
Columbus, in Ohio. Upstate New York has attracted some semiconductor investment. You've seen some EV investment in Michigan, which, and again, some of these upper Midwestern states have or had temporarily right to work, which obviously is ridiculous, right? But that's, but those laws, you know, which are so biased in favor of corporations, you know, in Michigan, I'm sure it's going to get repealed.
They better. It better.
Yeah. So I think, but I think one of the bigger factors, quite honestly, is where are the people, right? Because you need people to work in the factories, and the unemployment rate is 3.5%, and so you got to kind of locate where people are moving to.
That's an excellent point. And Georgia is a growing state. I mean, it is. While you know people are leaving some of the other state southern states, Georgia is a growing state.
Yeah. No, I'd like to see some of these companies follow like the lead of Microsoft, you know, with the, you know, the some of the gaming employees they have, where they had a neutrality agreement and they're organized. So it's possible to do it in like tech and other things, but you got to have an employer who's committed to it too. And I my hope is that, you know, Biden Democratic governors can persuade, you know, obviously Kemp's not going to do that, but Democratic governors can persuade companies to do a bit more of that and see the virtues and the benefits of doing that.
Yeah, because clearly we're not getting any major comprehensive labor law reform anytime soon with Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin in the Senate. After, did you see the display today in Davos? The high five over the filibuster?
Yeah. I don't even know what to make about that, what they're celebrating other than, you know, getting love from, again, big corporations and kind of the status quo and, you know, the global elites, you know, who think they're putting the skids on, you know, America becoming, you know, too progressive or something like that. It is kind of bizarre, Rick. Right?
Yeah. For me, it was a sign. Don't worry, corporate America. Don't worry, global corporations. We got your back, but we're doing you solid. You listen to the Rick Smith Show or with Scott Paul. Scott's the president of the Alliance for American Manufacturing, AmericanManufacturing.org, the website. You got to check that out. Now here's the thing. I go back to this CHIPS Act. I go back to the Inflation Reduction Act. These are long-term policies going to pay dividends for years into the future. Sadly, we're tip of the nose political people. It's about the here and now. Does this messaging help that we see these plants coming online? My fear is that, you know, over the next couple of years, it's not going to happen fast enough. But I'm curious, yeah. is the rollout, is it happening quick enough? Are we seeing these this manufacturing coming back where it's going to be noticeable in a discerning way?
You know, this is a great question from that purely political perspective, right? Because, you know it's a successful strategy if you're a political candidate to run against jobs going overseas and factories closing, right? I mean, that's been employed by a lot of Democrats and Republicans very successfully, including at the national level. Now, what I think is less clear, because we really haven't had that opportunity in over the last three decades, is how do you run on bringing plants back to the United States, which Biden has done? I mean, 750,000 new manufacturing jobs in 2 years, the largest amount of vehicle and clean energy investment that you've ever seen in our country. I mean, it is truly extraordinary what is happening. And so I think part of it is how people are feeling about their own personal economic situation. So as inflation comes down, as you know, jobs hopefully continue to be available, obviously that's going to be helpful, because you know the economy drives voter preferences and behavior more than anything else historically. So I think they should. But the danger is obviously if people aren't feeling that way and you're telling them that things are great, they don't like that either. So, there's a lot to celebrate, and hopefully the good economic news will keep rolling out. Because I'll tell you something, these plant announcements are going to continue to come, and these things are getting built, and there's workers that are working now because of the infrastructure bill, and that are also building these semiconductor plants as well, and these electric vehicle plants. And so there's a massive amount that's already underway.
No, and it's good stuff. I mean, the reality is we've needed this for decades. But the reason I bring this up is it is a realigning of global manufacturing. It's a realigning of our supply chains. You know, I've heard some rumblings from Europe that they're upset about the tax credits that Biden has put on American-made EVs. I know Janet Yellen's supposed to meet with the vice premier of China tomorrow in Switzerland, and there's some tension there. How do you see this kind of, as we're reclaiming some manufacturers, we're holding on to future manufacturing, how do you see this playing out around the globe?
Yeah, this is a great question. And so, and we were out of the game for so many decades, and it was just taken for granted that the United States would kind of grin and bear it while we gave our jobs away, and we didn't do any of this. And so now that first you had kind of like the bull in the China shop in the form of Donald Trump, who, talked a lot about this, did some things about it, but wasn't very strategic about any of it. The hope that Biden would do a 180-degree reversal, I think for the Europeans, for the Chinese government, I think that's they know that's not going to happen now. And in fact, Biden's going to be more effective in the way that he implements these tools with respect to trade policy or the Made in America aspects to the tax credits or to the spending. And so I do think that policy is here to stay. I don't think we're going to alter it for the Europeans. I think what we've told the Europeans is you should do the same thing. You know, you should have your own Buy European program for clean energy. And so I think finally, slowly, they're gravitating towards that because they realize that Biden's not going to back down.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is what I've been saying about Biden. And look, everyone's, people have their visceral reactions, and I've got people who've, called him all kinds of horrible names. For me, ultimately, I could care less about the noise. It's about the fact that he is undoing 40, 50 years of neoliberalism that's torn down borders and has made trade something that is not, we're not trading anything. We're simply buying things from a cheaper labor source and bringing it back into this country and corporations making wild profits. I see him as somewhat moving us towards changing those. I would love to see those borders pop back up again. Domestic production for domestic consumption, something I've been saying for almost two decades now on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, we're getting there. And you alluded to this. I mean, the data are showing some progress. And, in business investment by U.S. companies in China plateaued and is now going down. Okay, which is pretty significant. Chinese imports as a share of our trade deficit, that's being reduced too. I'm not going to pretend like these things don't exist because they're still massive.
Well, massive.
We still have a massive imbalance. And some of that Chinese imports, they're getting displaced by imports from Mexico, imports from Vietnam. And so we do have reason to still be concerned very much about the trade policy and other aspects of that. But we are, you know, we're no longer at like peak neoliberalism, peak free trade, you know, peak globalization. We're on the other side of that into something new. And I think that there will be turns back and forth probably. But I think in general, you're going to see much more of this, certainly regionalization of production, like we do for automobiles. And, you know, we've been able to, I think, mostly hold our own with that strategy. And that's certainly the way the electric vehicle tax benefit is $7,500 credit is structured too. It's a North American credit. And right. So I think there's a realization that we probably have a fighting chance there. And so, the data are showing that. And I also think another important thing is like the whiz kid MBAs and the management consulting firms are no longer saying, go produce something in China. In fact, they're pretty much saying the opposite now because of all the political risk that's attendant with that.
And you wonder why working people don't trust the smart whiz kid MBAs, because the working people are always the one who take it on the chin when they come up with their latest great idea. And this is just another example of it.
I was saying that tongue in cheek. They are not they're not geniuses.
I know.
By any stretch of the imagination. It's like a herd mentality. And then everybody copies each other's idea. And then you end up with the kind of disaster that we've had. And now they're all saying, oh, wow, we now listen to our strategy. It's bring some of this back. You know, aren't we smart? And it's like, no, not really.
No.
We've been saying that for a long time. So
it's the last question I've got for you, because, you know, moving toward where I hope we're going, I think that will make us more competitive with China and actually get China to buy more of our things. And maybe open their markets up a little bit and make them more competitive? Or is this just grasping at straws?
Well, that's a great question. I think that's an unknown. And certainly, the Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, does have this kind of fortress mentality where he wants to build up Chinese technological capabilities from the inside and still try to game the global trading system. However, he's got a shrinking population. Their growth is going to slow down. And so, Rick, to your point, they are going to have to think about how they do this. And just depending on exports and state subsidies is not going to work the same way for China as it worked in the past. And so there may be some hope. But at the same time, his kind of nationalistic streak is going to work against our getting more products in there as well.
Well, we'll see how this plays out. I'm happy with what Biden's doing thus far. We need to stay the course on this front, and keep down this path and reclaim some of our manufacturing and actually make things here again. But Scott, I appreciate the time. As always, good stuff, my friend.
Rick, great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Our good friend Scott Paul. Make sure you check out their website. AmericanManufacturing.org. We'll get links out on social media. You can take a look at that. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1915. It was the day that the people of Chicago stood up to demand an end to hunger and unemployment. Their stand began at a meeting at Bowen Hall, part of the Hall House complex, founded by Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams. The number of unemployed had grown across the country due to an economic recession. A harsh winter had made the situation even more desperate in Chicago for thousands of out-of-work and homeless people. 900 people crowded into the hall for the meeting of the League of the Unemployed. More stood outside, straining to hear the speeches. One of the speakers was the fiery Lucy Parsons, the wife of one of the Haymarket martyrs. At the front of the hall hung a black banner emblazoned with one word in white letters: hunger. Those attending the meeting decided to march to City Hall to express their demand for work. Some in the crowd carried banners. One read, "Why starve in the midst of plenty?" Another demanded, "Give us this day our daily bread." This banner was fittingly carried by Episcopal priest John Tucker, known affectionately as Friar Tuck. 1,500 people marched that day, and with them, they had a new anthem to sing as they marched. For the first time, Ralph Chaplin introduced his song, the labor anthem, Solidarity Forever. As the march made its way downtown, it was met by the Chicago police. Brandishing batons, the police dispersed the marchers. More than 20 were arrested, including Lucy Parsons and Friar Tuck. Now, more than a century later, Solidarity Forever is still sung when working people gather to stand up united.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Listening to the Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So, congressional assignments coming out. Marjorie Trainwreck Greene, she's on the Homeland Security Committee. Boy, I feel safer already. Paul Gosar, the dentist guy, he's a crazy one. He's going to be on the House Natural Resource Committee. Now, remember, these are the two that Democrats got thrown off of their committees for various insanity. And I said from the beginning, and I'll stick with it, should have never done that. It was a dumb thing to do. Should have left them there. Should have never taken Marjorie Three Names off the Education Committee. Simply because anytime you would want to increase funding, and we need to increase funding for education, you just turn to her and go, look, Exhibit A, Your Honor. The reason why we need a more educated populace. Also, George Santos, remember him? Yeah, the liar. Let's go with liar. Evidently, he's got a committee assignment. McCarthy, I guess, decided, yep, we're going to give him one. He's on the Small Business Committee, which I find interesting since, you know, he claims that he doubled the profits at Goldman Sachs, a place where he never actually worked. He got an MBA from NYU, a place where he never attended. Yeah. Let the fun begin. And speaking of crazy, have you been following this story out of New Mexico where evidently, you know, some people were shooting at the homes of Democratic representatives? Well, they arrested a guy. He calls himself the MAGA King. Solomon Pena is his name. He's an election denier. He lost an election in a squeaker. I mean, it was really a squeaker. He refused to concede his House District 14 race. He's researching his options, he said. For those who don't know what the election results were, the person who won, Miguel Garcia, won 74% of the vote. Pena got 26. But it was a squeaker. He's checking his options. Because somehow, you know, almost 50% of the people who, that 50% margin, they must have been illegals. If you follow the Trump logic, if you follow the down the rabbit hole logic, the QAnon kooky stuff, yeah. But evidently he's been arrested because evidently he paid some people to shoot up these homes. He orchestrated four shootings of elected Democrats. Yeah, this is the kind of scary people that we're dealing with. Not in touch with reality. And I keep saying I think we need to have some massive group therapy. Some massive funding on mental health treatment and well, just plain sanity. Now, North Dakota, they've decided they're going to purify their state. They are going to ban sexually explicit books. So anything that mentions sex, anything, gone. Now, what's interesting is this is one of the states that if you look at like Pornhub statistics, one of the states really high. I can justify that by going Pornhub is an internet site with videos. They're against books. So it's the reading they have a problem. It's not the sex. It's not the graphic stuff. It's the reading they have a problem with. I've boiled it down to the simplest form. It's the reading. That simple. Crazy, isn't it? What a crazy world we live in. Love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast wherever you find your favorite podcast.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.